worship team, and that was a great, the joy song. Wasn't that neat? Oh, let's pray. Father, thank you for the joy, love, the peace, the hope. It's what we really need. It's how you made us. Love, joy, peace, patience. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. And turn with me to Luke chapter 1. It's page 1587 in your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 1, and then have an outline for us too, if that helps you. So, 1 week till Christmas. Can you believe it? And that's the way some of you are looking. No, I can't believe it. Don't you want another week or two? It's so stressful. And when you think of Christmas, what do you think of? Usually, maybe you think of stress, but you probably think of family, Christmas tree, dinner, games, and all that's good. Amen? It is good. But what's Christmas about? Jesus. And it's easy to get him lost in all that we do. Now, I want to say something. Christmas is just not about Jesus, though. Have you ever read your Bible? When you think of the Christmas story, who else do you think of? I'm talking Bible now. We're in church. Who else do you think of? Mary. Wise men. Angels. Shepherds. Thank you, Joseph. Sorry, Joe. Joseph, angels, shepherds, wise men, John the Baptist, and Elizabeth and Zachariah. People, here's the deal, you guys. And there's a movement in the church, and amen, they're trying to bring us back into balance that everything's about Jesus. Amen? And he includes us. He includes people in his story. In his story that's about him, Mary, Joseph, angels, shepherds, he keeps including us. Is that neat? In fact, if you start listing the people, a lot of those people that he included have been married late, almost 100 years or so. I mean, there's some old people in this story. But I have a confession to make. There's somebody else in this story that I hadn't really paid attention to. You know who he is? He's mentioned 10 to 12 times. Twice? Gabriel? No? Mary? Oh, I didn't count how many times she was mentioned, but I think he's mentioned more. Herod, one. King Herod, he's mentioned a few times. That's good.
John the Baptist?
He's up there. Zachariah? Well, let's stand up and see if you can see it. Luke chapter 1, how Luke starts the story. Now, next week, Tom Hollinger is going, who are you going to play? Tom? Are you Luke or Matthew? I didn't hear what he said. You have to come and find out. Okay, Mark, are you going to spill the beans? I guess not. Okay, Mark's going to play the other guy. What else? So, Luke, who is a physician, who has researched, says, man, I'm putting this together for you so you can know that what you believe is true. Hallelujah. And he gives us the backstory that nobody else gives us. Look at verse 5 of chapter 1. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright, which was unusual for priests. They were upright in the sight of the Lord, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and they were on duty for a week, two times a year, and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And we talked about that last week. And when the time for the burning of incense came, it was either at 9 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside, huge crowd. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, like they always do, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer, the prayer that you've probably given up on, has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. He'll be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 12 times through this gospel account, and I've missed it all these years. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the Spirit. No, that's double reference, I think. In the Spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel. Now, we don't know how old he is. We just know he's old and past. So he's probably in his 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. The angel answered, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And parenthesis, is that how you're going to respond? And now you'll be silent. You want a sign? And you won't be able to speak until the day this happens. Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you that Christmas is about Jesus. And it is also about us because you want us in the story, where there were shepherds, or people past their childbearing years, or even Gentiles like the wise men, or King Herod who rejected, or the priest who also heard the news. Help us to get into your story. And Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing more of yourself to us. Help us to be way more open to you than we have been. Help us to see you, feel you, respond to you. Fill us, flow, Holy Spirit, flow. For your honor, for your glory, for our joy, for the world's good, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's do it. This is God's word. This is God's word. It's God's authority over us. And who I am and what I will do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And give each other a good Christmas hug, especially if they're wearing an ugly Christmas sweater. Take a seat. Can you imagine? You're probably in your 70s or 80s, and you are a godly priest. Most priests don't believe the Bible. Zechariah does. Most priests don't obey the Bible. Zechariah and Elizabeth do. And they don't stay in Jerusalem where all the power is. No, they're out in Judea. But Elizabeth is barren, has been barren, and now she's past childbearing years. It's over for them. In that culture, if you can't have kids, there's something the matter with you. In that culture, you must be doing something wrong or God would have blessed you. And so they not only had the pain of no children, they had the shame of no children. Another thing's happening. When's the last time that God had spoken? 400 years before. This is 400 years. They call it the silent years. That's really not the best way to describe it. 400 years of no more prophets. Is God still speaking today? He was speaking through his word. He was speaking through each other. He was speaking through the conscience. He was speaking, but he's like, I've given you enough for right now. Let's start doing what I've told you. You know what I'm saying? And now the silence is broken to a, say, 80-year-old priest who can't have kids. Isn't God something? Woo! And then God sends just not any old angel. He sends Gabriel, one of the top angels, to do the job. Man. And the angel tells Zechariah, your wife is going to have a son. And he's going to come in the spirit and power of Elijah. How does the last book of the Old Testament end? And I will send my prophet, Elijah, who will prepare the way for the coming one. The silence is broken. Is that awesome? And then Gabriel says, well, before that, and don't, he's not going to get no wine, no fermented drink, because he's going to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit from when? From after he does all his studying? From after, you know, after when she hits age 30? No, no, no. He's going to be filled from where? From birth. In fact, it's even better than that. From the womb. Whew. Now, think what Zechariah knew from his viewpoint. Who's the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm not real sure. But I know that he was hovering over the waters in the beginning of creation. I know that when he is withdrawn from creation, everything withers and dies. But when he is blown on creation, everything thrives. I know that the Spirit came on only two people like this in the Old Testament. Samson from birth. Well, that didn't turn out so well, did it? What does that tell you? You can have the Spirit, but you need to walk with the Spirit. And then David. He's going to be strong like Samson. And he's going to be a man after your heart like David. This is awesome. But how do I know? I mean, it's a no. Now, you'll see later, Mary asks a question too. She doesn't get rebuked for her question. His question was one of disbelief. How can I know this for sure? And you can almost see Gabriel going, okay, you want to know for sure? How's this? You can't speak for the next 9 months. Here is a principle that it's a fill in the blank later. Do you want to get filled with the Spirit? Bow. B-O-W. Bow. Believe, obey, and worship. I think after he couldn't speak, he was starting to believe. Now, I'm just acting this out. We don't know how it went, but I would love to have been there. So Zechariah does the incense. Now, the rabbis taught, do the incense quick because the people waiting for you, if you take too long, they're going to think. So he finishes doing the incense, and he comes out, and he's to bless the people. And he's to say, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine up. He can't talk. He can't say a word. And I think he did something like this. Angel! I'm kissing my wife. You getting it? You getting it? I mean, did he do that? I don't know. But he can't speak. He can't speak. And he goes home. And how does he tell Elizabeth? Well, we read a little bit later that when the child is going to be, when John is born, he asks for a writing tablet. So what they did, they would take a nice piece of wood, you know, they'd sand it, it'd be nice and smooth, and then they would pour wax over it, and then take like a stylus, something, like, or a knife, or and then they could write, which shows that he knew how to write and she knew how to read because she got it. It says she rejoiced, she believed, and she obeyed, and she worshiped right off. Wow. And then this. Let's go to what he tells us very next. And here, okay, I just want to stop for a second. This is, Zechariah didn't know all this, but we do. Who filled John the Baptist? Who fills you when you come to Jesus? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who is surrounding the throne and fills the universe and saturates this creation and wins people to Christ. He's in you. The advocate, the breath, the comforter, the helper, the friend, the teacher, the guide. He's in you. And he loves you. Get in touch with him. And then 6 months later, we read this. Skip down to verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel, same angel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, a town they thought was rejected, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, you who are blessed, you who are beautiful on the inside and out. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be called Great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary said. "Since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit." There he is again. He keeps showing up, doesn't he? "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Like the cloud overshadowed the people at the Exodus, like the cloud overshadowed the tabernacle, he's going to overshadow you. You're going to become his temple. So the one, Holy One born to you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." That's our Ohio State motto, huh? "Nothing's impossible with God." I love Mary's response, verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Wow. So the Holy Spirit is going to fill John up from the womb, and the Holy Spirit is going to come upon Mary and conceive Jesus. And when you and I come to Jesus, guess what? It says in 1 John, his seed is put in us. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, "I'm so concerned for you. I'm in childbearing pain for Christ to be formed in you." We come to Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit, we get his seed in us. I just want to say something, because there's different controversies, and one of you just recently sent me a podcast on this, ask me what I think. The guy, sure sincere, said Jesus' name isn't Jesus, it's Yeshua. That's the Hebrew. Absolutely right, if you're Hebrew. Our Bible, the manuscripts were written in Greek, and Luke wrote, "You shall call him Iesus." It was the Greek way of saying Yeshua or Joshua in Hebrew. Jesus is the name that's our native tongue. Don't feel embarrassed about that. If you are a Hebrew, if you're a Jew, call him Yeshua. That's awesome. That's your native tongue. But God speaks the native tongue of people. And you know the name Jesus is recorded 1,310 times in the New Testament. Every book of the Bible names Jesus over and over and over. Call him Jesus. It's okay to call him Jesus. You don't need to feel embarrassed about that, but don't dishonor the person who wants to call him Yeshua. Or Jesus, or however they pronounce it in their language, amen? But I'm just saying that. And talking to my friends about, well, that's because the Catholic Church came along and took all that out. There's no way, there's no manuscript evidence of that ever happening. His name's Yeshua. His name's Joshua. His name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. And what does the name mean? God saves. And what does the name John mean? Now, that John's not as popular of a name in the Old Testament. There's not very many people named John. The Hebrew name is Yohanan or Johanan. I mean, it means God is gracious. Two names, God is gracious and he saves. Well, I love this next part. Let's just skip down to verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, probably 3 to 5 days' journey, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Why, there he is again, and I have missed it. Filled with the Spirit. And in a soft, quiet voice, no. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you'll bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" I think about that. I mean, Jesus is how big right now? He's an embryo. He's smaller than your hand. And Elizabeth is saying, "I'm in the presence of my Lord." How much more should we bow down now that he's no longer an embryo, but a man who preached and teached and healed and turned over tables? How much more should we stand in awe that he was crucified, was beaten, and whipped for you and me? How much more should we stand in awe of him because he was laid into the tomb and he rose again on the third day? How much more in awe should we stand of him that he's sitting at the right hand of his Father in heaven? If Elizabeth could say, how much more should we? And then she says, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." You know, they say, you know, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. That is not true. It can follow you for the rest of your life. Well, we have another saying that we don't say, but anyway, it's a thought. What goes on in the womb stays in the womb. Oh, you know, I bless you all who adopt. I got them at birth, so it should be okay. Do you understand? These children are impacted through the 9 months of pregnancy. They are sensitive. They are feeling. They can't process it, but they're aware of it. I don't remember the guy's name, but he was a famous celloist, and he told his mom, "It's the weirdest thing. I'm practicing this very difficult cello piece, and it just flies. It's just like I know it already until I come to the last movement, three-fourths through. I can't. It's just like old times. I got to really practice it." And his mom says, "That is so weird, because when I was pregnant with you, that was the very piece I was practicing. And when I gave you birth, I was in the last movement and never played it again." Maybe John the Baptist doesn't have any words, but all he knows is, "Whoa, I'm feeling something, and I'm jumping up and down." And that helped me in our men's Bible study of breakfast at Bob Evans. We were going through the book of John and came to that part where, you know, John says, "He must increase and I must decrease." And I've always kind of looked at that as like John's going, "Yeah, I know, everybody's going to him." No, he's going, "Yes, that was what I was for." And then I think if Zechariah was around, I think he would have gotten the point. Verse 45, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary, probably 13, 12. My 70-some-year-old husband didn't get it. You did. You're blessed. Believe, obey, worship. And then verse 46, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And she goes on to say how God lifts up the humble and pulls down the proud. And if you read this and then read 1 Samuel, this is the same thing Hannah said. Now, we've been taught, or I've said anyway, that girls were not allowed to be taught scripture. That must have been later in the Jewish history, because this girl knows Scripture. She can quote it. She can quote it from her heart. It's good stuff. And she does, this is called Hebrew poetry. They don't rhyme words, they rhyme thoughts. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." It's saying the same thing twice, right? But Hebrew poetry might say the same thing twice, but it takes you further. My soul, that's that intellect, emotion, and will. That's that part of us that relates to each other and relates to ourselves. The spirit is that same intellect, emotion, and will, but it's the deeper part that relates to God. She's saying, my soul, what does she say? Glorifies the Lord. Yes, I exalt him. I magnify him. And she calls him Lord or King, but my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, bigger. And the word rejoice means to jump up and down for joy. John the Baptist is jumping up and down in the womb, and Mary's jumping up and down too. She's going deeper. At the end, we're going to talk about how to go deeper. But I'm telling you, it is so good. One of you, a couple weeks ago now, just I think maybe 3 weeks ago, called me up and said, "Pastor Ken, I'm just really struggling with my faith." And we talked and said, "I hear you." And it's like, you're trying to build your faith on your own. Ask God to help you build your faith. And please, let me know, encourage this pastor's heart. I sent you the one-minute pause of, "I give you everything and everyone. I give you everything." And it was so good. You do it like in the morning and at night if that works your schedule. And it's just good music and scripture. And you came to church on Sunday. Now, when you come to church, just like everybody else, you put on the face, right? I mean, that's what we do. And you were smiling just like normal. But it was different. Oh. And I said, it was like you were glowing. I said, "So how's it going?" And you said, "I give you everything and everyone." Let the Holy Spirit work the way Mary did, the way Elizabeth did, the way John the Baptist did. And then we come to the next part where John the Baptist is born. And let's see, that's chapter 1. I went too far. I'll just tell the story here. With his birth, they have 57. So the 9 months are finished. Elizabeth has been praising God, and they now gather to name the child. Zachariah still can't speak. And Elizabeth, in faith, remember, believe, obey, worship, believe, obey, worship, believe, obey, worship. Elizabeth, with faith, says, his name's going to be John. And what do her relatives and friends say? "No, it's not." I don't know personally. It's like, who gave birth to this child? I mean, who are you to tell me? But this is what I think. Don't know. They're thinking, poor Zachariah. Hasn't been able to talk for 9 months. His wife's taken over. We're going to name him Zachariah, Elizabeth. Goodness sakes, the guy's 80 years old. He needs a little bit of creds, okay? And she says, "No, his name is John." And then I love Scripture. Scripture's so real. It says, they turned to Zachariah and began making signs. Like, you know, however they did it. Now, that's just weird. Why? He's not deaf. He's mute. We had a friend named Skip in Bible college. And he strained his voice, and he was under doctor orders to say nothing like for 3 months. So he, yeah, some of you thinking, yeah, and poor Zachariah had 9. And so he wasn't supposed to talk. And so he and his family went to, like, on vacation to Washington, D.C., and they saw some people they knew. And so, you know, the people were talking, and what's the matter with Skip? He can't talk. He's under doctor orders. And so all Skip could do is nod and all that. So then the people were kind of uncomfortable with that. So then they just talked to the parents. And, "Oh, it's good to see you." And they didn't say bye. Because when a person doesn't talk, you feel like, okay, I'm not supposed to talk. And Zachariah goes, he does some kind of sign, "Bring me a writing tablet." That's what he's saying. So they bring him a writing tablet. And he goes, "His name is John." Boom! And his, What happens next? Let's look at it. Verse 67. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, Zach, you got it. You believed, you obeyed, and now you're worshiping, and the Spirit is filling you. So far, so good? Is what he's going to say going to be right? He's filled with the Spirit. He's praising God. Well, see if you can pick it out. After 9 months, this is what he has to say. First words out of his mouth, hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, really referring to Jesus, to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Now, do you think Zechariah was excited? Do you think that everything he said was biblical? Do you think that everything he said was complete? Did you hear between the lines? Yes, the Messiah is coming to deliver us from those who hate us, from our enemies. He mentions twice, our enemies. He had a very physical understanding of Jesus and him reigning and ruling and kicking out the Romans and getting rid of the tax collectors so they could serve without fear. Was Jesus going to do that? No, not yet. Ultimately, he will. Let me tell you something. Just because you're filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you have it right. One time some of you will remember this, we were, as a church, really debating. Adam Modzel, who was our first youth pastor, did not go to Bible college. And boy, I mean, we were divided as a congregation. You know, he needs to go to Bible college first, then he can do this and all that. And we disagreed. And one of you called me up and said, I had a prayer time last night. Holy Spirit just spoke to me directly. Adam has to go to Bible college. So I guess that settles it, huh? And I said, well, I'm sure that's what the Holy Spirit said to you. He's just not saying it to me. You know, give yourself, keep growing in the Spirit. What he said was true, it just wasn't complete. And then what's wild is the Holy Spirit is not mentioned at the birth or with the angels, but I think he was there, especially with the shepherds glorifying, praising the Lord. And then we read that Jesus is taken to the temple on the eighth day to be circumcised. And this is where the Holy Spirit is mentioned more than any other place. You would never think that. Look at verse 25. Well, we'll skip down. Well, yeah, verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous. Same kind of words used about Elizabeth and Zechariah, but another word, and devout, has the idea this guy not only obeyed the Lord, he worshiped the Lord. He was waiting for the consolation, the peace, the hope of Israel, the Messiah. And guess what? And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It's how Simeon lived. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit. Now, how many more times do we need to say the Holy Spirit? He was filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. The Spirit told him, you're not going to die. And then the Spirit says, today's the day. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, here we have it again, believe, obey, and worship. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to who? The Gentiles. Zechariah didn't say that. No, thank you. You're coming to get the Gentiles. And for the glory to your people, Israel. Hallelujah. Keep walking with the Spirit. Keep walking with the Spirit. He'll keep showing you more and more and more. And Simeon is way down the road compared to where Zechariah was. A couple myths here I want to talk about. Getting filled with the Spirit is only a one-time event or only on special occasions. No, the truth is getting filled with the Spirit is a lifelong journey. And then, oh, look what he says next. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. When Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, think she's like 13, maybe 14 years old, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own heart too. See, Zechariah had the picture. Oh, he's coming. He's going to get all them Gentiles, which means all us Jews are going to be saved. And Simeon says, not so fast. He's going to be a light to the Gentiles, and many of our own are going to reject him. And Mary, it's going to hurt like a sword in your heart. Another myth is, well, just because if you get filled with the Spirit, it's all going to be easy. It's going to be a sword. Satan hates you. The world attacks you. The church misunderstands you. Your flesh tempts you. Get filled with the Spirit. I want to do another little aside for a second. Look at verse 32. It's how Simeon ends his praise. A light for the revelation of the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. For your glory to your people Israel. Again, we've hit the 500 and some year now of the Reformation, and they have, Martin Luther did this, five solas, five, not sodas, five solas. It's Latin for only. God's word alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, for God's glory alone. Okay, you with me? And that's what's being taught. And there's a truth to that. Isaiah 42, verse 8 says, I will share my glory with no other. Okay? You with me so far? So with some of my Reformed friends, if you say, hey, good sermon, or hey, thank you for doing that, they say, don't thank me. To God be the glory. It's not about me. It's all about his glory. Have you read the Bible? Paul says thank you to the Romans, the Ephesians, the Philippians, and they said, don't thank us. No, you say thank you, and to God be the glory. It's not either or, it's both and. And right here it says, he is for the glory of your people Israel. God loves sharing his glory. He shares his glory with the universe. The stars testify of his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. He shares his glory with the angels. They appear before the angel, before the shepherds. And what does the word say? And the glory of the Lord shone round about. He loves you. He says, come on in. Well done, you good, my faithful servant. Well, what do you do with Isaiah 42, verse 8? I share my glory with no other. You read the rest of the verse. You guys, oh, the rest of the verse says, and I will not share my praise with idols. God doesn't share his glory with idols. God doesn't share his glory with false gods. God doesn't share his glory with the arrogant and the proud. He doesn't share his glory with those who are disbelieving and resistant. But he shares his glory with his people. Amen. Hallelujah. And then We read chapter 2, verse 40. It says, and the child, speaking of Jesus, grew and became strong. I don't know why our NIV doesn't do this, but it literally is strong in spirit. There the Holy Spirit is again. It says the same thing about John in John chapter 1, verse 80. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature with favor with God and men. That when you get filled with the Holy Spirit just isn't about church stuff. It just isn't, he's just not about spiritual stuff. He's about all of life. It's interesting, both John and Jesus, it's the same phrase. I don't know why they didn't do that here in the NIV. It's literally, he became strong and still is in the Spirit. Jesus is still strong in the Spirit. Amen. He's still strong in the Spirit. And so I think about this, Bob, your testimony from a month ago now, that you know your knee hurt like getting shot, and you felt like, I need to research. You went to Cleveland Clinic, you went to the Mayo Clinic's websites, and it sounds like it's inflammation. That was the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is going to help you with your Bible study. He is going to help you with witnessing and praying. Yes, yes. He's going to help you with giving. He's also going to maybe help you with how to know what to do with your knee. He's good. He's good, he's good, he's good. He wants to help you be a better boss, a better employee, a better wife, a better husband, a better parent, a better child, a better worker, a better student. He's in all of life. He made it all, right? And we need to stop living like orphans. I want to tell a story. This was some years ago. Wintertime is hard on us, and as you get older, it gets harder and harder, I'm telling you what. Anyway, Janet was kind of down. It was wintertime, and she was sitting in her chair. I went, well, so I felt the Lord saying I needed to encourage her. And so I said, so what can I do for you? Now, I expected her to say, well, we can play some cribbage. You know, so we play games at night, and okay, I'm going to be a godly, loving husband and give up my agenda and not keep working on the sermon, but I'll play cribbage with you, you know, because I'm... And do you know what she said? Well, you could go out and feed the horses. The horses are your responsibility. You're the one who chose to have horses. I don't know all that I said, but it was in that ballpark. No, I'm not doing the horses. I'll give up 45 minutes and play a game, but I'm not going to take 10 minutes. I didn't say all that, but I thought all that. So I walked up the steps, you know, to our my offices and all, and we live in a split. It's only 6 steps. And I was on the 5th step, almost to glory land. And I was on the 5th step, and poof, Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Now, I have thought of this story as an orphan until like this last week or two. I've thought of this story as an orphan. Holy Spirit, what did she say? Well, she said, go feed the horses. So what are you doing? Working on the sermon. But what did she say? Go feed the horses. So what are you doing? And see, I saw the Holy Spirit just putting me into a headlock, you know, and full Nelson and turning me around. And I would go back down the steps. Okay, I'll feed the horses. And I was doing it like an orphan. I really was. I really was. So I go out and I'm feeding the horses. How come she always gets what she wants? I never get what I want. All that good stuff. Yeah, do you live in a real marriage or you know what I'm talking about? And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm all the time, give, 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 give. I mean, when's it my time? You there? Feed the horses again. It's wintertime, cold, snow on the ground, I think it was, and come back into the house, open up the back door. And Janet has gotten up out of her chair, and she meets me right by the door. She throws her arms around me. She kisses me, and she says, you're a wonderful husband. Now, that old pride, Lord, let's kill it. Boom, boom. See, I thought the Holy Spirit was kicking me out to the barn. Holy Spirit was saying, Ken, I have a plan for you that's good. Can you just submit? Amen? Hallelujah. When am I going to get mine? Holy Spirit, just wait. Just 5 more minutes. Just shut up and wait. So let's pray. Because the Holy Spirit loves us. And we're going to do a prayer thing. We're going to give our body, our soul, and our spirit to Him. So pray with me. Kind of deep breath in. You know, love, joy. Hold it for 3 or 4 seconds. And let it out slowly. Peace, patience. Again, love, joy, big breath in, peace, patience, let it back out. Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, you knit this body in my mother's womb. And Paul tells us in Romans 12 to present our bodies a living sacrifice to you, not a dead one, but a living one. And so we present our body to you. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come into my brain. The front part where I think, the back part where I feel, begin to melt and mold. Left and right, front and back. Take over these anxious thoughts and these conflicting emotions. You are my Lord. And now, Holy Spirit, I feel you're flowing down to my brain, to my ears and my eyes. May I hear your voice. May I look for good and truth. Oh, Holy Spirit, these ears are yours. May I keep them pure and hurt when there's gossip or lies. Feel you coming down to my nose, my mouth, my jaw, my neck. Lord, may I not be stiff-necked, but supple, responsive to you. May the words that come out of my mouth be from you. Lord, even take over my mouth. I need help when it comes to what I eat. May that be under your authority too. I feel you flowing down from my head to my ears, to my eyes, to my cheeks, nose, throat, neck. And now, Lord, come down to my shoulders. The shoulders are the things I tend to tense up on and hold up. Help me to relax, that Jesus said, my yoke is easy. That's where the shoulders go. You carry the burden. Help me with it. And then I feel you flowing down. I am your temple, and you're going down my arms, or to my elbows, to my forearms, to my wrists, hands, fingers. You say, whatever I put my hand to do with all my might for your glory. Give me the strength I need for my days. And then I feel you flowing to my chest, my heart, my lungs, where I tend to take shallow breaths and my heart starts to beat too fast because I'm anxious. Lord, I give you my heart, my lungs, my belly, my abdomen. And now flow down into my legs, the biggest muscles, where I need the strength, the balance. My knees, my calves, my ankles, my feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who give the good news. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are filling me from head to toe, hands to feet, brain, face, chest, stomach, gut. Out of the gut will flow rivers of living water. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow through every part. I presented you my body, and now, Lord, I'm going to present you my soul, my thought, my intellect, my will. And I cast all my care upon you. That's where my soul tends to live, my cares, my anxieties, my anxious thoughts, my worries, and I cast them upon you. I give you everyone and everything. I give you everyone and everything. And now, Holy Spirit, come down to my spirit, the deepest part of me, where the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness flow. That part in me that connects to you and loves people well. Picture yourself standing in heaven, gold streets, pearly gates, an emerald rainbow above the throne. It's where we're headed. Scripture says that's where we're seated. That's what we're to think about. And there's a river flowing from the throne. It's the river of life, and there's the tree of life on both sides, and there is fruit that gives healing to the nations, and it is not just a city. It is a paradise. It is a garden. It is beautiful. It is good. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. Fill us. And if you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior, your Lord, your King, your friend, say, Lord Jesus, I've made a huge mistake. I've tried to make this on my own, and what you offer is so good and so right and so pure. Forgive me of what I have done and what I think and what I say, feel. Thank you that you took that sin, that junk at the cross, and I trust in you. You're the Lamb of God. Take my sin, take my soul, take my spirit, take my body, and help me live now for you. Boy, if you're praying that for the first time, reach out to us, get baptized, tell others, follow Jesus. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for filling us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Yes. Good stuff, huh? Holy Spirit is good. Look for him more in Scripture. Look for him more in your own life. And if you need prayer, stand up and sing and come on up if you'd like us to pray with you too. So, yeah, Jeff and Veronica, come up as well. Let's sing to our God.